If you have your Bibles this morning, you can go ahead and turn to Obadiah, the book of Obadiah. If you do not have a copy of God's Word, there should be one in the seat back in front of you. I'm going to read Hebrews 11:32 for us this morning, so you don't have to turn there. But if this is your first time with us this morning, we've been going through the book of Hebrews. And as we've walked through Hebrews 11 over the last few months, we have gotten a taste of biblical theology. And so this morning, it would be easy for us to just give some information about the prophets. But my goal this morning is to tell about the prophets and then also show how the prophets, particularly Obadiah, are pointing forward to Jesus. The prophets were not perfect, but they did look ahead in faith to the King who was to come. I've heard it said that the Old Testament is a room filled with furniture and various things, but the New Testament is that same room with the lights on. And since we have Christ the King, He is the key in which we view the Old Testament. All of God's promises find their yes and amen in Jesus. And so as we look back in the Old Testament this morning, we are rejoicing. We're rejoicing in what Christ has done. So I'll read Hebrews 11:32 this morning, and then we'll spend a brief time mentioning the prophets before we dive into Obadiah. So Hebrews 11:32, it says, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets." So this morning, we will finish this verse in Hebrews 11:32 by reflecting upon this phrase, the prophets. And this verse is intending to show that there are many more people that could be mentioned in Hebrews 11, but Scripture goes on to summarize and say the prophets. So who were the prophets? Who were the prophets? Instead of breaking the prophets into two groups, major and minor prophets, I'm going to break the prophets into four groups this morning regarding the time frame and the areas in which they prophesied. So the prophets to the northern kingdom, or Israel, were Jonah, Joel, Amos, Hosea, Isaiah, and Micah. The prophets to the southern kingdom, or Judah, were Nahum, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, and Jeremiah. The prophets during captivity were Daniel, Obadiah, and Ezekiel. The prophets during the return from exile were Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. The prophets lived in very hostile circumstances. They spoke for the Lord. They were vessels of the Lord, and they were working for the Lord. But their faith was rooted in the King over all. Their faith was not perfect, but they placed their faith in the King who does not lack. And so for us this morning, it would be a dangerous task to read the prophets into our context today. I know there may be some that want to read passages like Jeremiah 29:11, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And then throw that verse and put it on a coffee mug, right? And then there are some that want to reread current nations back into the prophets, or exchange themselves for an individual mentioned in the prophets. That is a dangerous practice because Jesus has fulfilled the prophets. The prophets are not about you, but about Him. And so it may be cute Christianity to put some verses on a mug that sell, because Christianity that costs something will not sell. Jesus says in Luke 14:27, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." So biblical Christianity will not be popular. It will not be picked up by mainstream media because it costs. Some people want to be prophetic, but they do not want the cost of being humble in stature and low in estate. Humility was shown among the prophets and then revealed fully and primarily in Jesus Christ as the true prophet, priest, and king, who in humble estate left heaven, took on flesh, dwelt among men and women, living perfectly to the law, dying in our place and rising again from the grave, that those who repent and believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So if we desire to care for our world around us, it will cost us. It will cost us. It costs the prophets. Our Lord was crucified. And our Lord said that we must be prepared to be hated for his namesake. And every prophet in the Old Testament pointed to the true prophet, the prophet like Moses from Deuteronomy 18 that would come in the New Testament. The office of prophet has been fulfilled, not by Muhammad, not by Joseph Smith, but by the Lord Jesus Christ. So each one of the prophets in the Old Testament pointed forward to the coming king, which is Christ, which is Jesus Christ. And these prophets, they preached repentance. Jesus preached repentance. We see in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus says, "Repent and believe in the gospel." So Jesus is the promised Messiah and the suffering servant, as Isaiah 53 says, that was pierced for our transgressions. And so I hope you see this morning that Obadiah and the prophets are pointing forward to Jesus. They're pointing forward to Jesus. Jesus is the hero of every book of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. At North Hills, we confess that the Bible is the Word of God. It is sufficient. And all 66 books of the Bible point to Jesus. And the prophets, they did not have popular methods. They preached the Word of God, and people wanted to kill them. They were not looking to be popular, but desired to preach the truth. And prophets preached repentance and the wrath to come for those who oppose God. The prophets addressed sin in Israel and in Judah. They were pointing forward to the day in which God would deal with sin once for all. And God has dealt with sin by the cross of Christ. And God will deal with the sins of the nations. The prophets, they preached deliverance by the hand of the Lord. That God will deliver his people and he will make a way. He has delivered by Christ's sacrifice. And so God's sovereignty is never a burden for the believer, but a pillow in which we can find rest. He has the whole world in his hands. He has his people in his grip. So if you have a copy of God's word this morning, we're going to look at Obadiah, and we're reminded that Obadiah is looking forward to Jesus by reminding us that he is our righteous judge. So let's read our text this morning, the book of Obadiah, starting in verse 1. The vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations. Rise up. Let us rise against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be utterly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rock, in your lofty dwelling, who say in your heart, "Who will bring me down to the ground?" Though you soar aloft like the eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, for there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. If thieves came to you, if plunderers came by night, how you have been destroyed. Would they not steal only enough for themselves? If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave gleanings? How Esau has been pillaged, his treasures sought out. All your allies have been driven, have driven you to your border. Those at peace with you have deceived you. They have prevailed against you. Those who eat your bread have set a trap beneath you. You have no understanding. Will I not on that day, declares the Lord, destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of Mount Esau? And your mighty men shall be dismayed, O Teman, so that every man from Mount Esau will be cut off by slaughter? Because of the violence done to your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you. You shall be cut off forever. On the day that you stand aloof, on the day that strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. But do not gloat over the day of your brother, in the day of his misfortune. Do not rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their ruin. Do not boast in the day of distress. Do not enter the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Do not gloat over his disaster in the day of his calamity. Do not loot his wealth in the day of his calamity. Do not stand at the crossroads to cut off his fugitives. Do not stand over his survivors in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return on your own head. For as you have drunk on my holy mountain, so all the nations shall drink continually. They shall drink and swallow, and shall be as though they had never been. But in Mount Zion, there shall be those who escape. It shall be holy. And the house of Jacob shall possess their own possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau stubble. Thou shalt burn them and consume them. And there shall be no survivor for the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. Those of the Negeb shall possess Mount Esau, and those of Shephelah shall possess the land of the Philistines. They shall possess the land of Ephraim and the land of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. The exiles of this host of people of Israel shall possess the land of the Canaanites as far as Zephira. And the exiles of Jerusalem who are in Shephard shall possess, I think I pronounced that wrong, Shephard, maybe. I'm butchering that word, but we get it. Shall possess the cities of Negeb. Saviors, verse 21, saviors shall go up to Mount Zion to rule Mount Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. This is God's word. So a quick overview of the book of Obadiah. It is the shortest book in the Old Testament. And Obadiah's name means servant of Yahweh, servant of Yahweh. This book was written around the time or after the fall of Jerusalem. And we see God's judgment against Edom and the nations. Israel was judged by their destruction. But God is gracious and merciful, and the Lord saves by Zion's hill. And so the background or setting for this book is the nation of Israel and Judah descended from Jacob. And then the nation of Edom descended from Esau. Jacob and Esau, they were Isaac's twin sons. Esau was born first, but if you remember in Genesis 25:23, it says that the older will serve the younger. So Jacob received the blessing and birthright. Esau did not. And so these two nations descended from Esau and Jacob. And over time, their relations became hostile towards one another. So when Babylon invaded Jerusalem, the Edomites assisted to destroy their relatives, and they gained from Judah's destruction. So the two nations that are the characters in this story, we have the Edomites that are the descendants of Esau. They were the relatives of the Israelites. And then there's Judah, the southern kingdom of the people of Israel. They are God's chosen covenantal people who descended from Jacob. And so there has been this tension between those of Judah from Jacob and the Edomites from Esau for a long period of time. And so when Babylon invaded Jerusalem, the Edomites plundered Judah. They killed Israelite refugees. They kill their Israelite relatives. That is the backdrop in which Obadiah has received this vision. This book shows God's judgment against Edom and all nations who oppose him. And so in this book, the Edomites are emphasized because they are those who betray their relatives. They've given help to the Babylonians to destroy God's people. They gave their relatives up. And so Obadiah prophesies that Edom and the nations will meet their end. We'll have 2 points for this morning. This book is divided into two parts. The first is in verses 1 to 14. Verses 1 to 14. We see the fruit of wickedness. We see the fruit of wickedness. The fruit of pride from Edom. And then the second point, or the second section we see in the book of Obadiah is verses 15 to 21. And then that point, you could title it the righteous judgment of the Lord. The righteous judgment of the Lord. So to our first point this morning, we see the fruit of wickedness in verses 1 to 14. Edom failed to treat Judah as their brother, and they committed terrible crimes, terrible atrocities against Judah. So in verses 1 to 14, instead of breaking down verse by verse this morning, I'm going to be breaking it down by sections as we go along. So in verses 1 to 4 this morning, this vision given to Obadiah is about the judgment of Edom. And this judgment will be brought about by the Lord. And this vision was given by the Lord, and the Lord is going to carry this out. Obadiah's vision is about this particular moment in history when Edom fails Judah and attacks instead. And so the Lord has let Obadiah know the fate of Edom, and then they are summoned for battle. So Edom has a huge pride issue. They were rebels. They boasted in the security of themselves. And Edom has been led astray in their ways, thinking that they are enough, that they are sufficient. They were never satisfied with the gifts of God. They continued on in pride and rebellion against the Lord. Like rebels, they continued to build up their hill of pride. And so a question for us this morning, are we similar to those of Edom? That we're building up our hill of pride, that this is mine, that this belongs to me, this is the way. If you continue to build up a hill of pride, you will be brought low by the Lord. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Those like Edom that exalt themselves will not be exalted, but they will be humbled. So are you living a life that is boasting in yourself? And if we understand the doctrines of grace, that there's nothing good in us, that we have been saved by the mercy and the graciousness of Christ and His sacrifice upon the cross and the shedding of His blood. Those who come to Him by faith are saved by grace. Those in Christ will press on until they see Him. Can we boast in ourselves? No. We boast in Christ. So do not be like those of Edom and boast in self or a particular heritage. Boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord will make Edom small and despised among the nations. Edom's pride brings Edom's fall. It is the pride of Edom that did not help their kinsmen in need. And since they have put themselves up and built themselves up, the proud think that they cannot be brought down. But the Lord promises to bring them low. In verses 5 to 7 this morning, we see that Edom has plundered. They have taken and destroyed. Edom has acted like thieves, taking only what they consider of value. They have failed to care for their brother. In a moment, Edom does not act in a manner of care for their brother, but desired to cause more harm. They were added to the groups who inflicted destruction upon Judah. And so Esau's treasure has been sought out, as we see in verse 6. These material treasures they pursued led to their future destruction. And what has happened to the people of God will happen and will be done to Edom. And we see in verses 8 and 9, in this day of judgment, these wise men and mighty men of Edom, they will be destroyed and confused. And their shame will be brought to the forefront. They will wear their shame. And as Judah was shamed by Babylon taking them captive and their relatives taking their possessions in the city, the people of Edom will be shamed. These people do not love the things of God. They take. Because they had the ability to take, their pride was built up. And these wise men of Edom will be made to look foolish because of how they stood before the Lord. Edom as a nation had an end date, as every nation does. And this morning, we recognize this was an historical event. This took place. But it would be beneficial for us to take heed of this prophecy to Edom. That God is over all things. All things will have to answer to Him. All things will give account to Him. All nations, rulers, principalities, all will have to answer to Him. Because He is King of the cosmos. And as Christians, we want to be good stewards of what we've been given. But we're also anticipating the kingdom to come. Under Christ's rule and reign, there will never be a debate about who is on the throne. So do not be like Edom and build up your pride so that the Lord will humble you. The wise men of Edom are shamed. And they didn't just make war against Judah. They made war against the Lord of hosts. When you continue to rebel in your sin and pride, it will lead to your destruction because you're making war against the Lord. They thought they were mighty in their eyes. They thought they were wise in their eyes. But if you are a follower of Christ, we follow Him in humility, knowing that He is the mighty one, not us. And knowing that He makes war on our behalf, on the behalf of His bride, on the behalf of His people. And His people are seeking the city that is to come. In verses 10 to 14, Edom was actively involved in the destruction of Judah that Babylon caused. They completed these acts against Judah. Verse 10 says, because of violence done to your brother Jacob, shame will follow Edom. And then in verses 12 to 14, we have eight do nots. Edom has already committed these in the Babylonian invasion. They have boasted in Judah's destruction. They rejoiced in the ruin of Judah, and Edom associated themselves with their ruin. They entered by the gate or the front door of the city. And Edom entered this gate to plunder God's people. And they looted and they cut off Judah from escape to cause further harm. Daniel Block notes that Esau the brother had become Esau the enemy. Edom wanted to watch Judah burn, and they rejoiced in it. Edom wanted to watch Judah burn, and they rejoiced in it. I think we should be reminded this morning that the people of God should expect persecution and trouble. One of the difficult aspects of verses 1 to 14 is that the persecution comes from their own relatives. Although we should not be surprised when persecution comes our way, it does not make it any less difficult if it comes from the people we know. Many of us may have family in which we disagree with some of their understanding of Scripture, and we have conversations with them. That is not persecution. Persecution is being attacked on the basis of your belief, facing hostility because of your belief. We can reflect a few months ago that our brothers and sisters in China were meeting on the Lord's Day over the internet, and the government got their web addresses, invaded their homes, took their devices, and arrested the people. When people are attacked by the basis of Christian belief, that is persecution. And so these verses help prepare and show us that we should expect persecution to arise. Do not be surprised when persecution may come. It may look differently among us, but we press on in faith. And God does not abandon His people. He does not abandon His people. And unlike Edom, the people of God extend a hand of aid, not a hand of harm. The people of God extend a hand of aid, not a hand of harm. In these next few verses in the book of Obadiah, we see the transition that the day of the Lord is near. The day of the Lord is near, not just for Edom, but for the nations. And so our second point this morning, the righteous judgment of the Lord. In verses 15 to 18, we see that the justice will be given to Edom. The justice that's given to Edom will be given to all nations. The Lord will repay the wicked for their deeds. Judah drank God's judgment when Babylon invaded. Edom drank on Mount Zion in celebration for the destruction of Judah. But in Edom, there will be no escape. All nations will drink the cup of God's judgment on the day of the Lord. And the phrase "nations will drink" here refers to drinking the cup of God's wrath. And so these nations will cease to exist. But for those who look to Mount Zion, there will be an escape. God will have a remnant. But unlike Mount Edom, in Zion, There will be a place for safety, a place for security, a place for sanctuary. There will be an escape in Zion. And so Obadiah is looking forward to the day in which from Zion's hill, salvation comes to the people of God. And this has come by the way of the cross. God's remnant, his people, receive salvation by Christ. Christ upon the cross, dying in the place of his people. And so this hill is holy, not because of man, but because the spotless Lamb of God was slain. The king died so that those descendants of Judah, Israel, and Edom can be saved by faith. There shall be no survivor of the house of Esau, because there will be no remnant of the wicked. But those who believe in the Son, those who look to Zion's hill for salvation, there will be an escape. And so the day of the Lord is near for all nations. All nations, like Edom, will meet God's just judgment. And God is not going to judge just who you want him to judge. God is going to judge everyone. He is the judge of all people. And here, Edom is a representation for all nations. They hate God and desired to plunder the people of God. But God will care for and redeem his people. So all nations will be judged by God. He delivers true, lasting justice. He is not a crooked judge that you can pay off. He is the righteous judge, and in him there is no fault. We can rejoice this morning. There is hope. There's hope of deliverance from Mount Zion, and from Zion's hill, salvation comes. The righteous one suffered for the unrighteous, and those who believe in the Son by faith will be redeemed. So from Obadiah, from this book this morning, we see the hope of the gospel promised. And then in the New Testament, we see the gospel delivered. So we see the gospel promise here in Obadiah, but the gospel delivered in the New Testament. And then in verses 19 to 21, in the Lord's rule and reign, he reclaims it all as his. He is Lord of all. And so this is pointing forward again to the new heavens and the new earth. And it's not a coincidence that Obadiah mentions the nations that are north, south, east, and west of Judah. And this is longing for the day in which the Lord will come. He will judge, making his enemies his footstool. And this will give way to the new heavens and the new earth. Dominion and authority belong to King Jesus. And so those who escape to him by Zion, we are one people of God. The Lord has conquered the enemy by Zion. So how is Jesus conquered by Zion? He is conquered by his death upon the cross. He lived perfectly to the law. And we cannot live perfectly to the law. And since we cannot live perfectly to the law, we are not law keepers. We are law breakers. And by breaking God's law, we have sinned. And our sin results in death. But by the death of Christ, he is our substitute. He died on the cross on our behalf. He shed his own blood. Hebrews 9:22 says that without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sin. And so, since we have sinned against God, God is the only one who can pay our debt. Jesus has paid our debt of sin. He lived perfectly. lived perfectly and took our sin upon himself, bearing the wrath of God against sin and dying in our place. And the death of Christ, it was once for all. It was once for all. His death was sufficient upon the cross. We do not need another sacrifice. We're not anticipating another Messiah. We are anticipating the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if any Jew would take seriously the task of reading the New Testament and the claims of Jesus and compare them to the prophets, they would recognize that the Messiah is Jesus. Did you know that Jesus fulfilled over 300 Old Testament prophecies? So this deliverer, this Savior to come from Zion and rule and reign is Jesus. And God did not have to save anyone. God did not have to save anyone, but chose to do so in sweet, sovereign grace. And so, why is this good news? Or why is the news good? We have all sinned against God. We have committed cosmic treason. Because we have committed this treason against the King, we cannot pay. We cannot pay for our sin. We cannot work hard enough to earn our salvation. We cannot be good enough because we've sinned. But rejoice this morning. Salvation comes from Zion's hill. The King of all took on flesh, dwelt among us, fulfilling the law and the prophets, dying in our place as our substitute, and rising from the grave as Lord of all. So that in Jesus, he is the true prophet, priest, and king. And that those who come and trust in him as Lord and Savior by faith will be saved from their sin. Rejoice this morning in that news. We can also rejoice that true Israel is restored in the cross of Christ. We see resolution in the cross of Christ. Those who were once previously opposed to one another are now brothers and sisters who care for one another because of unity in Jesus. But those who oppose Jesus, they will receive just judgment. Those who oppose Jesus will receive just judgment. But unlike Edom, Christians do not condemn by destruction. We do not destroy. The wickedness and evil of this world has an end date, and the Lord judges. Since we are not like Edom and destroy, the Christian call is to win others to Jesus, calling people to repent and trust in Christ. But we believe God is sovereign. How can we win others to Jesus? I cannot change someone's heart. I cannot change someone's desires. But I can share and speak the gospel to them, that Christ can save them from their sin. I can pray for them that they may be converted. If they're thirsty, I can give them something to drink while sharing about the water that never runs dry. If one is hungry, I can give them food while sharing about the bread of life. I can tell people to look to the Lord Jesus and live. I can tell those to repent and believe the gospel because the kingdom belongs to Yahweh, the Lord. And He is Lord of heaven and earth. So from Zion comes salvation and rule and reign. You will bend the knee to Jesus. You will bend the knee to Jesus in grace or in judgment. Everyone will bend the knee to the King, because the Savior and Lord is Jesus, and everything is His. And in this new covenant with Jesus, those who come and trust Him by faith will be saved from their sins because of His sacrifice. We are not redeemed on the basis of works or by how much money we make or our ethnicity or our position in society. Those who come to Christ are redeemed by faith in Him alone. So do not be like Edom and build up your pride, thinking you can do this or that. Do you put breath in your lungs, or is that a gift of the Lord? Do not be like Edom and not helping your brothers and sisters. Do not rejoice at the downfall of others, but weep and be in aid. And remember, the Lord is coming soon. Run to Zion, where there is an escape. Run to Him. And we can rejoice this morning that Jesus is our righteous judge and advocate. And as Apostle Paul says in Romans 3:26, that Jesus is both the just and the justifier. We only get one life, and it will soon pass. Only what is done for Christ will last. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we know that we have rebelled against You. We have sinned against You. And Father, we needed a substitute. We needed one to stand in our place, to plead our cause, to be our advocate. And that is Christ. From Zion's hill upon the cross, He shouts, "It is finished." So, Father, this morning, may we run to our King. May we rejoice in what Jesus has done on our behalf and share this good news with others. For Your glory and Your renown, and for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.